الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى العائق التاسع والآشر، the ninth and the tenth obstacle. The ninth and the tenth obstacle from the obstacles in the path of seeking knowledge. التسويف والتمني. Procrastination and false hopes. Procrastination and false hopes. The author, he says, التسويف التأخير والمدافعة. يقال سوف الأمر إذا قال سوف أفعل. He said procrastination is delaying and postponement. One says he procrastinates issues whenever he says, I will do this later. I will do this later. And I will do such and such later. So procrastination, this means to say sofa. Sofa af'alu kada wa sofa af'alu kada. I am going to do this and I'm going to do that. Or somebody, he has an aim or a goal and he'll say, oh, I will do this later and I will do that later. And it's just simple procrastination and delaying the issue with no necessary need. With no necessary need. So he will delay things from their proper time out of laziness or out of negligence and the likes like this. And he will say, Sofa af'al, Sofa af'al. And it has been narrated from Qatada, rahimahullah ta'ala, that he was asked by some of the students of knowledge to advise him. He said, Awsini. He said, Ihdar sofa. Ihdar sofa. Be careful. Watch out from sofa. And he, one of the students of knowledge, he's asking this great tabi'i, rahimahullah, for advice and admonishment. Wallahu a'lam, with regards to seeking knowledge. So he said, be cautious. Take caution. Beware. Beware of sofa. Beware of sofa. Sofa literally means I will do this or do that later. Sofa af'alu kada. I'm going to do this or going to do that later. But to delay the issue and to procrastinate. To delay the issue and to procrastinate. Many times this will be with regards to seeking repentance. For asking for repentance and seeking forgiveness. Sofa atubu. Sofa atubu min kada wa kada. I'm going to repent later from this and from that. And shaitan, he will whisper and encourage a person to delay that. To delay that with hopes that maybe he will prolong this issue and it will take hold and he will not be able to repent. Or he will not be given success to repent. Or that death will overtake him before he had the opportunity to repent. These are all from the footsteps of the devil. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. For this reason, a number of the Salaf, they mentioned التَسْوِيفُ جُنْدٌ مِنْ جُنُودِ إِبْلِيسِ. جُنْدٌ مِنْ جُنُودِ إِبْلِيسِ. That procrastination is a force from the forces of the devil. And from the forces the devil he uses to mislead the children of Adam is procrastination. Is procrastination. So a person, he has to have strong determination, as has preceded in the previous class, and to not delay the issues of goodness and the avenues of khayr, especially in seeking knowledge. Rather, he will take advantage of that. So if it's repentance, as the example had preceded, he will hasten and not delay, and he will not procrastinate, and he will continue upon that way, repenting his life. And so long as he's alive, striving against himself, he will repent. He repent often. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to repent and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily, a number of times, 70, more than 70 times, or has been counted more than 100 times in one gathering. He would say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma kfirli, Allahumma tub alay. Allahumma kfirli, Allahumma tub alay. So this is an example of that, not delaying, rather hastening. Not delaying, rather hastening. But here, likewise, with regards to seeking knowledge, a person, he will not procrastinate. He will not say, oh, I will review Surah Al-Baqarah tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes, he'll say, I'll review it tomorrow. And then he'll say, I'll review it tomorrow. And then every day, months go by, and he's saying, sofa, sofa uraji, sofa uraji, sofa uraji, until it comes to the extent that it's as if he has forgotten it now, and the memorization has become very weak. Or I'm going to memorize the 40 hadith. Inshallah, tomorrow I'm going to memorize the 40 hadith. I'm going to memorize the 40 hadith, and tomorrow comes, he says, inshallah, I'm going to memorize the 40 hadith tomorrow. Inshallah, tomorrow I'm going to start. Tomorrow after Fajr, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, I'm going to sit in the masjid and memorize a chapter from the chapters of the Quran. And then tomorrow comes, and he does not do it. It's simple false hopes and procrastination and حديث النفس، حديث النفس بدون عزيمة، بدون عزيمة، without having a strong determination to actually do the action. So he will continue to live like this, and this procrastination, it comes and turns into false hopes, and then he's just speaking to himself about affairs that he never truly executes or achieves with the other billah. So the fact that this procrastination, these false hopes are mentioned together, this is because one of them comes from the other, at-taswifu wa tamanni, they come together with the other billah. So he says, وَيُطْرَكُ التَّسْوِيفُ عَلَى الْأَمَانِ يُقَارُ فُلَانٌ يَكْتَاتُ السَّوْفَ أَيْ يَعِيشُ بِالْأَمَانِ. Procrastination is used to refer to false hopes, and it is said, so-and-so is nourished by procrastination. Yani this is a parable they say in the Arabic language. فُلَانٌ يَكْتَاتُ بِالسَّوْفَ. يَكْتَات بِالسَّوْفَ. Yani يَكْتَات, he gets his provision like this. Nourished by procrastination, meaning he lives by false hopes. And he's a dreamer. He's living in a dream world that he's going to do this and he's going to be that and he's going to have this and he's going to have that. But he does not take any of the steps to achieve any of these hopes that he has in his heart or in his mind. So therefore, they are false hopes, and they are in reality daydreams, and they are means to delay him and to cause him to fall behind in the race for goodness and seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, قَالَ قُمَيْتْ وَكَانَ السَّوْفَ لِلْفَتَيَانِ قُوتًا تَعِيشُ بِهِ وَهَنِيَتَ رُقُوبُ. And قُمَيْتْ, he said, procrastination for a young man is nourishment, living by it, and anticipation is delightful. And meaning that some people, they get caught up in these affairs, and they entertain these ideas until they live like this. They don't actually accomplish anything in their life, or that which they accomplish is very little compared to their dreams that they have in their minds. But because of procrastination and laziness, and because of showing preference to relaxation and ease, and because of the difficulty in achieving this high level and rank and knowledge, and likewise in worship and in deen, لَوْلَا الْمَشَّقَاتُ لَسَادَ النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمْ. They fall back, and then they waste their time, and they live in these false hopes and false dreams. So this is a warning from this affair, and it suffices to listen to that statement again. It suffices for us to take caution and be aware of this, the statement of the Salaf, whenever they said, at-taswifu jundun min junud iblis, jundun min junud iblis, that procrastination is a force from the forces of the devil. It's a force from the forces of the devil. So this is something that is very dangerous. So Iblis, لَعَنُهُ اللَّهُ إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. He sees you, him and his forces, from where you do not see them. He and him and his forces, they see you from where you cannot see them. So he is a staunch enemy. He is the arch enemy. He does not want any good for us whatsoever, to the extent that possibly he will help one of the children of Adam upon some goodness if it's a means to lead to evil, if it's a means to lead him to his downfall. Like some people, they'll be led to pray the night prayer, but the whole aim behind that is in order to miss the obligatory prayer of Fajr. So these are from those traps and from those steps. So from these forces, from these snares, from these traps, from these deceptions is sofa. Sofa. Sofa af'alu kada. Sofa akun kada. Sofa uraji' kada. Sofa ahfadu kada. Like this, I'm going to do this. I'm going to review that. I'm going to memorize this. Sofa akumu layl gadan. Tomorrow I'm going to stand in the night prayer. Sofa usalli duha. I'm going to pray the duha prayer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then the duha come, he doesn't pray. And then when the duha come, he's looking around, he's busy or he's relaxing. Tomorrow I'm going to do it. Or he gets preoccupied all the way till the duha goes by. There's not enough time left. Oh man, I missed it. Inshallah, tomorrow I'm going to pray duha. And then like this, he's living in this manner and he never prays duha. Or if he does this one or two times, and it's never something that he achieves or establishes in his life because of these false hopes and this procrastination, and because he's been lured by the devil in this manner. Allah, he mentioned, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. That indeed the devil, he is an enemy to you. So therefore, take him as an enemy. فاتخذوه عدوا إنما يدعو حزبه ليكونوا من أصحاب الصعير. And he only calls his party, his followers, to be from the dwellers of the blazing fire. So this is what he's calling for. This is why he is encouraging the people to have false hopes and dreams that will never be accomplished, and to procrastinate and to procrastinate and to procrastinate and to procrastinate, because in this life we have an appointed term, and that term we do not know when it will end. But our life is going to be based upon what we have done, and our life in the hereafter, and our success or our failure is based upon how we deal with this life and the time that we have been granted and the blessings that we have been bestowed. So therefore we have to take advantage. Therefore we have to take advantage of this time. So this is from the traps or the snares of the devil, from the footsteps of the devil, to cause the people to have false hopes and to procrastinate and to delay performing the actions of worship and the actions that are pleasing to Allah and that will draw one near to Allah. Inshallah, tomorrow I'm going to memorize the adhkar of the salat. Inshallah, tomorrow I'm going to memorize the adhkar of the morning and the evening. Inshallah, later I'm going to review some hadith. Inshallah, tomorrow I'm going to review this issue. Inshallah, tonight I'm going to do this. And in reality, it's procrastination. He has the time and the ability to do it at that moment, but because of laziness and the preference for ease and relaxation and entertainment and hanging out and chilling, like they say, he shows preference and he delays it till later. He delays it till later. As for somebody who's preoccupied now, he has an obligation in front of him, and now he has an excuse to delay it to later, and he's not procrastinating. It's not a false hope. Rather, right now he's engaged in something that's preoccupying him. For example, he's at work and he's thinking about some things. Inshallah, later after work I'm going to review this class, or I'm going to listen to this audio, or I'm going to sit in the lesson, or I'm going to review the Quran. Like this is not necessarily false hopes. This person here is could be speaking to itself about the goodness and making preparation for what he truly is going to do later. So the point here is not just to hope or to think about or to speak to oneself about doing good, but to be deceived by that and tell a person he's living a lie and he's not truly performing any of these good things. He's just living in this dream world. So he says, وَالتَّمَنِّي حَدِيثُ النَّفْسِ بِمَا يَكُونُ مُسْتَقْبَلًا وَمَا لَا يَكُونُ بِمَا يَكُونُ مُسْتَقْبَلًا وَمَا لَا يَكُونُ أي مُسْتَحِيلًا وَقِيلَ إِرَادَةٌ تَتَعَلَّقُ بِالْمُسْتَقْبَلِ وَقِيلَ إِرَادَةٌ تَتَعَلَّقُ بِالْمُسْتَقْبَلِ He says, false hopes are to speak to oneself about what will occur in the future and what will not occur. And it is التمني. التمني is here translated to mean false hopes. Sometimes it could mean wishes. يَتَمَنَّ شَيْئًا يعني that he could wish for something. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that التمني يكون في طلب هو يعني يكون في طلب الشيء المستحيل أو ما يصعب حصوله أو ما يصعب أو يشق حصوله. يعني something that to seek after something or to hope for something or to wish for something that is impossible. This is called a tamanni. Or to wish or to hope for something that is not impossible, but it's very difficult to obtain. But it's very difficult to obtain. Many times this word is used in this manner. يعني طلب شيء في حصوله مشقة أو في حصوله مشقة يعني مشقة شديدة. Something that is very difficult to obtain or even impossible. But it could be used in a manner just to have also the meaning of having hope. Of having hope, hoping for something. But this is the case. So these false hopes are to speak to oneself. Or this tamanni, these wishes, is to speak to oneself. Hadithu and nafs. Hadithu and nafs is whenever a person is talking to himself. So there's a difference between hadith and nafs and between waswasa. There's the waswasa, which is the whispers of the devil. And then there's the hadith and nafs, whenever a person, he is talking to himself. He's talking to himself, but he's going to do this and he's going to do that, and he's thinking to himself and he's having a dialogue many times with himself and the likes like this. This is called hadith al-nafs. And then there's also waswasa. And sometimes they can be the hadith al-nafs can be influenced by the waswasa, but there's a difference between the two. There's a difference between the two. So sometimes a person, he'll talk to himself about performing good, or he'll talk to himself about performing something that's not good. And he's thinking like this, talking to himself, and other times suggestions will come to him from the devil, the waswasa, waliyadu billah, waliyadu billah. So here at Tamanni, he's saying, this is hadithun nafs, to talk to oneself, to speak to oneself about what will occur in the future and what will not occur. Meaning it is impossible. It is mentioned that it is desiring an attachment to the future. And he having a desiring attachment to the future. And he thinking about this in the future, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And tomorrow I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to go to school and then I'm going to graduate and then I'm going to have this job and then I'm going to get married and then I'm going to have a house and then I'm going to have, and then my yard is going to be like this and I'm going to have this many cars in the driveway and like this, just living in this dream world about what he's going to do in the future. When I see so-and-so, I'm going to say this to them and that to him. And then whenever he comes, then it's a different story. It's a different story. And so these are al-amani. These are al-amani. Yani, then the author, he says, وَالتَّسْوِيفُ وَالتَّمَانِي دَآنِي خَطِيرَانِي يُفْسِدَانِي الْقَلْبَ وَالْوَقْتِ وَيُعْرِجَانِي بِالْمَرْءِ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْخَيَالِ وَيُعْرِجَانِي بِالْمَرْءِ إِلَى عَالِمِ الْعَالَمِ الْخَيَالِ. Procrastination and false hopes are two dangerous diseases, corrupting the heart and corrupting the time, leading a person to the world of imagination. And this is great advice. التَّسْوِيفُ وَالتَّمَنِّي دَآنِي خَطِيرَانِ. Procrastination and these false hopes, these wishes that a person becomes involved in, they're dangerous diseases, he's saying. And meaning that these could be things from the diseases of the heart that will affect the person's heart and corrupt his heart, and likewise eventually cause him to waste time. And again, in this life, our life is just time. And every breath and every day, every breath, every moment, every day is a breath and a moment and a day closer to the end of our time. And this time in this life, our time in this life is opportunity for us to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal or to fall behind. لِمَنْ شَاءَ مِنْكُمْ أَيْ يَتَقَدَّمَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرَ أَوْ يَتَأَخَّرَ. So a believer, he is always trying to proceed and move forward and become better and increase in worship and nearness to Allah Azza wa Jal and not fall behind. And not fall behind. So these are two dangerous diseases that will corrupt a person's heart and likewise waste his time, leading a person to the world of imagination. Now he's living again in these false hopes and in the world of imagination. So he says, أما التسويف فصفة بريد الحس عديم المبالاة كما همت نفسه بخير عاقها بسوف وسأعمل حتى يفجأه الموت فيقول ربي لولا أخرتني إلى أجل قريب. As for procrastination, this is the attribute of the one with slow perception and the one without care. Any بريد الحس, any the one who's a dummy, literally. And he's slow. He's a fool or an idiot and the likes like this, or somebody who has no care or concern for the outcome of his soul. His soul desires to do good. Maybe even sometimes he will want to do good and he will hope to do good, but he's prohibited from that, from procrastination and saying later, I'll do this later, until suddenly death comes to him and he says, oh my Lord, if only you would give me respite for a little while. And he's been fooled by his lust and from his whims. So maybe he will hope to do good, and he has these ideas of doing good in his mind, but then he is blocked, and he is literally blocked from this obstacle of saying, oh, later I'll do this, and later I'll do that. So even if he has the desire to do good, that which stops him and forbids him from achieving that desire, which initially is good, is that he will procrastinate and he will delay. كَمْ مُرِيدٍ الْخَيْرِ لَمْ يُسِبْهُ. How many people intend to do good, but they did not obtain it. So this is from the means that a person, he will not obtain good. So therefore, the cure for this is to have strong determination and firm resolve and to work hard and to strive against the soul and to not be lazy and to not be helpless and to take the reins of one's life in his own hands, like we have seen previously from the advice of Shabi. كيف حصلت على هذا العلم؟ قال بنفي الاعتماد بنفي الاعتماد, by not relying on others, يعني by not relying on myself, يعني my own soul, my cleverness, and my own wit, and by not relying on others, rather by relying on Allah alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and seeking His help and aid, and then working hard, and then working hard. So you have to put, you have to take the reins in your hands, and you have to do it yourself, regardless if the people are doing it or not. If it comes to having high lofty ranks in the religion and seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, then the people on that path, they're few. And those who are striving hard on that path are few. And those who are given success in that are few. So be prepared to be alone. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this likewise. بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيُعُودُ كَمَا بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَ لِلْغُرُبَ. Islam, it began as something strange, and it's going to return to be something strange like it began. So glad tidings for those strangers. So the person, the more he learns about the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the more he understands and sees clearly the methodology of the Salaf al-Salih, the more strange he will become. Then the more he understands that property and he applies it in his life, the more strange he will become. The more strange he will become, he will start to realize the true strangeness of al-Islam and how few in reality there are who are truly holding fast to that. So he will not rely upon others. He will not wait for others. He will not look for others. And he even sometimes, for example, it's been mentioned that some of the Salaf, they would come to one of the lesson, and if the teacher, he did not show up, they would sit there as if the teacher had showed up, and he would not leave. Like, this is something that he had dedicated himself to. This is his time. He came to the class. He came to the lesson. Yani, and he's waiting for his teacher. The teacher didn't show up. He stayed there. He would stay there, yani holding himself in determination, reviewing or going over the knowledge, not just saying, oh, khalas, he didn't come, I'll waste my time now. Oh, khalas, he didn't come, let's go hang out, let's go have some tea, or let's go to this or that. He would stay in the same spot. And it's been mentioned the likes of this, yani, and then review the knowledge or go over the knowledge. Yani, this time had been set. Yani, a person, he has an appointment with himself, and he had determination with Hirasha that this time is for this issue right here. And for seeking knowledge, for this khair, for this benefit. For this khair, for this benefit. So the point here is to, again, take the affairs seriously and take one's soul, yani, by the reins and check it. And if a person, he checks his soul, it will go straight. But if he leaves his soul loose, then his soul will run him and it will never be satisfied. And it will never be satisfied. So this is the case of the soul. A person, he has to learn about his soul and how to treat his soul. And how to benefit in his life and not be overcome by his soul and ran into the ground by his soul. Because if a person, he does not learn how to control it properly, it will run him to the ground. And likewise, the devil as well will run him, yani, into misguidance. So if a person, he leaves his soul loose, then the soul will overcome him and it will follow his desires and it will never be satisfied. And if a person, he checks his soul too tight, it will wear it out and tire it out and will not be able to continue and it will leave the straight path in both ways. So a person, he has to learn how to deal with the soul in order to continue on the path of goodness, on the path of seeking knowledge, on the path of worship, on the path of the night prayer, on the path of the duha prayer, on the path of al-khayrat, on the path of fasting, the non-obligatory fast, so on and so forth, in a manner that he will be able to continue, that he's not going to be lazy, falling behind, and having procrastination, and living in a dreamland, and having false hopes. And likewise, he's not going to carry himself so hard that it's going to, in the end, and put so much pressure on him, it will break him, and he will not continue. And it will be a means for him to leave off even that which is greater than that from obligations. So this goes back to knowing the soul. Barakallahu fikum. So the author, he says, فَعَلَى طَالِبِ الْإِلْمِ أَنْ يَتَنَزَّهَ عَنْ هَذِهِ الْمَنْقَصَ وَيُبَادِرَ بِالْعَمَالِ عَمَلًا بِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. It is incumbent for the student of knowledge to free himself from this shortcoming and to hasten to do good deeds, applying the statement of the Most High. So hasten towards all that is good. So a student of knowledge, from the things he's doing first and foremost, is memorizing the Quran. So maybe he has reached this verse and he has memorized this verse. Fastabiqul khayrat. Fastabiqul khayrat. Hasten and rush. Race one another in competition of performing goodness. And he's seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. So we have seen previously that from those obstacles is that a person, he will learn the likes of these verses and then not apply them. So you have to overcome that likewise and implement that. So this is what he's saying, that you should implement in your life the statement of Allah the Most High. Hasten towards all that is good. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. So this right here, the one who learns this and then implements this, then this will be also a means for him to avoid procrastination and to avoid these false hopes by applying the knowledge that he learns. The author, he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And hasten to the forgiveness of your Lord and the paradise. The width is the heavens. The width, not less, the width, huh? The width, it should be a D there, right? The paradise, the width is the heavens and the earth, which is prepared for the righteous. عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. Any the width, any its expanse is that of the heavens and the earth. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, which has been prepared for the righteous. The author, he says, فَهُوَ أَعْرَفُ النَّاسِ بِقِيمَةِ الْوَقْتِ وَأَوْلَاهُمْ بِالْإِنْتِفَاعِ بِهِ كُلِّهِ. So he is the most aware of the people of the value of time and is the most rightful to benefit from it in its entirety. يعني فَهُوَ يعني طالب العلم. يعني طالب العلم, the student of knowledge, he's the one who has, he's most aware. He's the most aware of the people. The most aware of the people with regards to the value of time, he should be a student of knowledge, a Muslim in general. A Muslim in general, but rather a student of knowledge even more specifically. He will realize the value of time and the benefit of time and what is at stake with regards to one's life and one's time. And there's so many places in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has swore by the time in general or even in specific aspects of the time or specific times from throughout the day and from the night time to emphasize the importance of time. Wal asr. Any that swearing by the time in general, wal layl, swearing by the night time, wal nahar, and swearing by the day, wal duha, swearing by the wal fajr, and the likes like this. These are all different times Allah, any throughout the day and the night time, Allah is swearing by them. And whenever Allah swears by something in His book, swearing by one of the a creation, whenever Allah swears by a creation from the creation, in His book is to emphasize the importance of that affair, to emphasize the greatness of that affair, and likewise the importance of that. So these times that we should take advantage of them, and we should benefit from them, and we should respect our time, and not waste our time. Some of the Salaf, they would say that one of them he met individuals from his teachers. كَانَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَشَحَّ عَلَى وَقْتِهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ بِدِرْهَمِكُمْ بِدِرْهَمِ, that he was more stingy with his time. That one of them would be more stingy with their time than one of you would be with your gold or your silver. Meaning they're not going to let anyone waste their time, and they're not ready to give their time up for nothing. Their time is precious. They respect it. They honor it. They want to benefit from it. They do not want it to be wasted. They do not want it to be neglected. This is something, for example, if somebody, if some people, they're very stingy with their money. They're stingy with the dollar. They'll penny pinch, and they'll look at the price, and if they can find it on sale for 25 cents cheaper, they'll buy that one. Or they find another brand. This brand here is a dollar. This brand here is 98 cents. He'll jump to the one for 98 cents to save 2 pennies. He looks like this. He thinks like this. And he's calculating like this. His budget is like this. And 2 pennies makes a big difference to him. I'm going to keep that in my pocket, not letting it go. Like this. So one of them, he would be more stingy with his time than this. You need 2 moments, 2 seconds. I don't got 2 seconds for you. You want to waste my time? I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to waste my time with you. You want to do something that's been, you want to benefit from our time? Alhamdulillah, let's benefit from our time. You want to waste your time? Fadl, waste your time, but don't waste my time. Don't waste my time with this foolishness or with this silliness. That's why sometimes you will find if people, they ask questions that are not proper, the people of knowledge will turn away from them. Don't waste my time with the likes of this. Whenever it's apparent from the type of question and from the individual and the way that he presents it or the way that he's moving, that he intends fitna and trials and the likes like this, they'll turn away from him and they will not benefit him. Or if it's a student who has lowly manners and the likes like this, they will not waste their time anymore. Before, if it's a student, for example, that has good conduct, good manners, good etiquettes, and he's working hard and striving, then the people of knowledge, they'll give up much of their time for that student. But then if it comes to the extent if another student comes, he's contrary to that, they will not waste their time with that. They will not give him the same amount of time or the same amount of attention because of his lowly manners or because of his laziness or because of what is apparent from him from 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 uh, from having bad intentions, from the way that he's dealing or moving and the likes like this. So this is something that's very, very important. The people of knowledge, they take advantage of their time. The students of knowledge, they take advantage of their time. A Muslim, he takes advantage of his time. He takes advantage of his time. So the student of knowledge is most aware of, is the most aware, and he's the most knowledgeable of the people with regards to the value of time, and is the most rightful to benefit from it in its entirety. The author, he says, وَقَدْ قَالَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِعَبْدَ اللَّهِ بْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, be in this life as if you are a stranger, rather as a passerby. Rather as a passerby. كُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ. So that you should be in this life as if you are a stranger. As if you are a stranger. أو عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ. Oh, Abiru Sabil. Sometimes, possibly, you could translate this to say, oh, or be in this life as if you are a stranger or a passerby, or a passerby. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention here that, oh, it doesn't mean or, that you make a choice, but it means bel, Abiru Sabil. Rather, you should be Abiru Sabil. Rather, you should be a passerby. Yani, meaning that first, the advice is to be a stranger. But even a stranger, maybe he's going to a strange land, but possibly a stranger, he may find it nice where he's at in that strange land, and then eventually move there or take it up as a residence. Somebody who's a stranger in a strange land, possibly he may eventually take residence there, and now he will not be a stranger anymore. And he'll not be a stranger. Now he'll become a resident in that strange land. And now that ghurba will go away from him, and he'll become a resident in those lands. We understand this? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, be in this life as if you're a stranger, rather a passerby. Because in this life, you're not going to stay here. You're not going to remain here. It's not going to last for you. So you be like a stranger, rather not even more. Even more. Don't be, never mind a stranger, be like a passerby. Aw abiru sabil, rather a passerby. Because the one who's passing by, he's not going to take residence. He's not going to take residence. So we're not created for this life. And this life was created for us to benefit for our purpose that we were created for. And that is to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. That is to seek the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal and to obtain His mercy in the hereafter. So the hereafter is the true life. Akhirah, this is the true life. This is the life that's eternal and everlasting. This is the life that is eternal and everlasting. So this life, we should not be deceived by it. This life, we should not be deceived by it. It's not going to last. It's not going to last, but the life that we move on to is going to last. Is going to last. So there are stages in this life. There's this life, the dunya, and then after the dunya, there's the barzakh. There's the barzakh that we all go to. And after the barzakh, there is the qiyamah, the hereafter. Whenever the resurrection occurs, and the people, they are brought back to life, and they face their reckoning, and they stand in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, and the deeds, they will be weighed. And the scales they will be brought, and the deeds they will be weighed, and the records they will fly, and the people from them they will take, some will take their records in their right hand in honor and happiness and joy, and others they will take it in their left hand, disgraced and humiliated and in great grief and loss and failure. Waliyadu billah. So this is the case. Some people, they have become preoccupied with this life, and instead of working for their purpose and their goal, they're working for that which was a means for them to achieve their purpose and their goal. And instead of using this life as a means and a tool, as a means and a benefit to reach the pleasure of Allah, they left the pleasure of Allah and they just work for this life entirety. And the example of this, barakallahu fikum, like a person on the path. Maybe he's a stranger and he's traveling. So he's traveling, and on the road, many times there are stops that he will make on his journey. His goal and his aim, he has a destination that he's hoping to get to. Until he reaches that destination, there are many points along the pathway, according to the distance of his journey, that he will have to stop. And many times we find on the roads here in America, they call them rest stops. You see on the road, rest stop. So you get off on the rest stop, right? But what is the rest stop for? Huh? Rest stop. You take a stop here to rest so that you can get back on the road and inshallah eventually make it to your destination. So maybe sometimes the rest stop is nice, right? Some rest stops, they're nice. And especially maybe in other lands, some of the rest stops, they have lots of things. There's like maybe there's restaurants there, and maybe there's a park there, or maybe there's places for playground there, or maybe there's other types of entertainment there, or maybe there's a place for relaxation there, and the likes like this. So imagine a person, he's on a journey, he's hoping to get to his true destination, his home, where his loved ones are, those who love him and he loves. They're there waiting for him, and his home is there, and his property is there, and all of his joy and his love and his whole life is there. His whole life is there. He's on his way there. And then on the way, he stops at a rest stop that's really nice, and he thinks it's really good. But it's a rest stop. Although it's nice, it's still just a rest stop. You understand? And then he says, oh, man, this is nice. He stays there one day. He's supposed to just stop for a minute. He winds up staying the night there. And then another night there, and then another. Next, you know what? I'm just going to pitch a tent here, and I'll just live here. Never mind my home and my family. This rest stop is nice. Huh? He failed, huh? Well, you have to be like, that's the example of the people in this life. They think that this life is good. MashaAllah, dunya, big house, big home. I got a nice check, alhamdulillah, every week, every month, like this. And then he just suffices with the dunya. He just fights, and then he forgets about the true home. He forgets about the true home, where his loved ones are, where the beloved are, where any happiness and joy and bliss is. And he left that great lofty goal and was deceived by the rest stop. So this dunya, barakallahu fikum, is like a rest stop. It's not permanent. We're not here to stay. Hatta zultumul maqabir. Even whenever we die, it's just going to be a visit in the grave. We're going to visit the graves. And then after that, we'll be resurrected and brought back to life. فَكُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا كَأَنَّكَ غَرِيبٌ أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ أَوْ عَابِرُ السَّبِيلِ. That you should be in this life as if you're a stranger, rather as a passerby. You're not going to stay here. You're not going to stay here. This life is going to be uprooted and taken. It's going to go away. It's going to go away. وَتُبَدُّ الْأَرْضُ وَالسَّمَاوَاتُ غَيْرُ. It's going to be changed. So he says, وَكَانَ إِبْنُ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا يَقُولُ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرَ الصَّبَاحَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرَ الصَّبَاحَ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرَ الْمَسَاءَ وَخُذْ مِنْ صِحَتِكَ لِمَرَضِكَ وَمِنْ حَيَاتِكَ لِمَوْتِكَ. And Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he used to say, and after this is connected to this narration, if you come to the evening, do not wait for the morning. And if you come to the morning, then do not wait for the evening. What do you mean, do not wait? If you come to the evening, do not wait for the morning. Huh? Don't expect to live until the morning, and do not delay the righteous and good deeds until the morning. Do not delay, do not procrastinate. If you come to the evening tonight, don't wait till the morning to pray the night, pray it now. Don't wait till the morning to give charity. Don't wait till the morning to do good. Don't wait till the morning to any whatever good that you can do right now at the nighttime, then do it today. Do it now, because you don't know if you'll make it to the morning. And if you make it to the morning, you don't know if you'll be given success to perform that righteous deed. Maybe you'll procrastinate, maybe it'll be taken from you. We have seen before what the people of knowledge have mentioned about delaying the good, that whenever the soul is light and has a great encouragement to perform good, if we neglect that, many times that opportunity will not come back. These are windows in life. Allah, He opens up avenues and goodness for us. If we don't take advantage of that, then that's as if we did not show thanks for this opportunity. And therefore, that could be stripped from us, and it may not return. It may not return. The opportunity may not return. People have the opportunity to seek knowledge now. If they don't take advantage of that opportunity now, it may not return. It may not return. They might not have the opportunity to seek knowledge later. Because of maybe they'll become sick, maybe they will die, maybe they'll die, maybe they'll become sick, maybe they'll get married, maybe they'll have children, maybe, until they will not truly be able to seek knowledge in the manner that they had the ability to do at one time. But because they didn't take advantage of it at that time, that opportunity is lost and it doesn't come back. You understand? We had the opportunity to get up in the night prayer. And the likes like this, he's telling himself, I'm going to pray the night prayer, I'm going to pray the night prayer, I'm going to pray the night prayer. Even maybe he'll bet, oh, Allah, help me pray the night prayer, oh, Allah, help me pray the night prayer. And then every night he doesn't get up. He doesn't get up. Or even worse than that, barakallahu fikum, maybe he will wake up in time for the night prayer. But then he will not get out of bed. You understand? I want to pray the night, oh, Allah, help me pray the night. And then he wakes up. He wakes up, he sets his alarm for 5 o'clock, he wakes up at 5. Sets alarm 5:30, he wakes up at 5:30. But then he just lays there, and he does not get out of bed. But he's awake, and he knows, and he's even told himself, oh, the night prayer. But then he can't. So Allah, he answered his dua, and he gave the opportunities there. But you have to make the, you have to, فَضْرِبْ بِأَصَاكِ الْحَجَرِ You have to take the means. Strike. What did Allah say to Musa? Strike the sea with strike the rock with the thing, or strike the sea likewise with the staff. And meaning that even that Allah can make it. He can do all of these affairs, but Allah has decreed that we must take the means. So if you wake up now, you got to pull the covers off of you. Right, you got to lift your head up off. You got to get those heavy covers off of you and lift your heavy head off of the pillow. Stand up, remember Allah Azza wa Jal, wipe your face, make wudu, and go pray. So that part is going to be on you. So Allah is going to help you, but you also have to take advantage. You have to, the opportunity that is there, the window is there. So do not neglect this. This is my point. You understand? We see the point that now the opportunity arises. It's desiring, his desires in his heart to stand, and then he even goes to the effort, and then he wakes up, but then he goes back to sleep, or he refuses to get out of bed, right? This is the warning here. We should not do like this. So these affairs, we're all tried with them, and this is the benefit of reading the likes of these works and sitting in the likes of these gatherings, so that we can recognize our own mistakes. What is this? فَعَلَى طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يَتَنَزَّهَ عَنْ هَذِهِ. This is advice. It is incumbent for the student of knowledge, for the Muslim in general, barakallahu fikum, to free himself from this shortcoming. So we have these shortcomings. وَيُبَادِرْ بِالْعَمَالِ. Then he should hasten to do the righteous good deeds. So then we see on ourselves, man, this is something I was doing. Astaghfirullah. I'm going to strive not to do this. Astaghfirullah. 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 Now you start, you're repenting to Allah Azza wa Jal, and then you have this strong determination, and then you go for it. And now you do it. You don't fall back into the same pit hole of procrastination. You don't fall back onto those footsteps of procrastination. La yuldagu al-mu'minu min juhrin maratayn. A believer, he's not stung from the same hole twice. So alhamdulillah, learning these traps and these ways, this jund, the devil, he has junud, and he has armies, he has forces, and from them is this issue of procrastinating. So now that we know this, now we're able to identify some of those traps that the devil is trying to lead us away from the straight path with. He's trying to deter us and to mislead us. So this is very beneficial. He says, Ibn Umar, he used to say, if you come to the evening, do not wait for the morning. And if you come to the morning, then do not wait for the evening. Take from your health for your sickness and from your life before your death. And he take from that many benefit. Don't procrastinate. Don't live in the realm of false hopes and false dreams. Stand up and do it. Make the effort. Work hard. Strive against your soul. Seek the help of Allah. This is the key. This is the key. Barakallahu fik. Al-istiana billahi azza wa jal. Al-istiana billahi azza wa jal. A person, for example, barakallahu fikum, he wants to learn, he wants to start praying sunan al-rawatib. He wants to start praying the sunan al-rawatib. Or he has already started praying the sunan al-rawatib, but then he's falling off. Either way, either he wants to start praying them, or he has been praying them, and then he's falling off. And then he's falling off. So he wants to talk to himself. Ibn Umar is telling us that we don't wait. Don't wait for the evening. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't procrastinate. Don't delay. Because maybe you're going to become sick. Then you're not going to be able to pray them. Right? Or maybe something's going to happen and you're not going to be able to pray them. So you pray them. So you pray them. You start to pray them. But barakallah fiqh, you have to seek the help of Allah in praying them. You have to, your heart has to have strong reliance and faith and belief and realize yourself again, knowing yourself. I'm weak. I'm deficient. I'm not strong. I cannot do it. Oh Allah, help me. Oh Allah, help me. The more a person, he humbles himself and he belittles himself before Allah Azza wa Jal, the more Allah will help him and raise him. And this is how one becomes strong. The one who humbles himself before Allah realizes the favor and the blessing is for Allah. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. No power, no might, no strength, not possible to do any good, to be safe from any harm at all except with Allah Azza wa Jal. Not from me, not from my cleverness, not from my sport, not because I strive so hard, not because none of that. It's all a favor from Allah. And you beg Allah Azza wa Jal and you truly seek His help, He would help you. And He'll raise you and you'll benefit. So to establish these prayers, we have to seek the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then we have to strive to remember Allah. subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the one who remembers Allah and these actions of worship, whether it's the sunan al-rawatib, or seeking knowledge, or reviewing the Quran, or memorizing hadith, whatever it is, the one who does that with the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal, then now this remembrance in the heart will make the action of worship come to life, and it will now become light, and now it will become delightful, now it will become pleasurable, now it will become enjoyable. The one who finds the sunnah of dhuhr, four rakat, to be heavy, it's because when he's praying them, he does not remember Allah. That's it. This is the key. Barakallahu fikum. This is the key. The one who prays, he wants to pray four rakat before dhuhr, two and two, two and two. But he's finding it heavy. He can't. It's hard. He talks to himself. He wants to do it, but then when it comes down to it, it's heavy for him. He wants to do something else. That's because when he's praying the first two, he's not remembering Allah. If he remembers Allah and the favors of Allah and the blessings of Allah, and he puts his faith in Allah and his trust in Allah, and he's hoping for the reward from Allah, he says, Allahu Akbar. And he realizes what he's saying, and he makes the dua istiftah, and he knows what he's saying, and he recites the Fatiha, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, and he hopes that he will be guided, and he doesn't want to be like the Jews, and he doesn't want to be like the Christians, and he's remembering this in his prayer. Now it's going to be easy. Two rakah is nothing for him. It's so light, rather it's pleasurable and enjoyable. So whenever these prayers become heavy for us, it's because we've been distracted, and we're not remembering Allah in them. We're not remembering Allah in them. A man, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentioned that these different non-obligatory actions of the legislation have become heavy for him. And he's not meaning that he doesn't want to perform them, but meaning that he's asking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to advise him with something that he can do from them. So not meaning he doesn't want to perform them, but meaning he needs to have some advice on how to carry himself to do them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يزال لسانك رطباً بذكر الله, that your tongue should always remain moist with the remembrance of Allah. So this is how to make those actions beneficial and easy and light, by remembering Allah. By remembering Allah, then they will become easy. It will become easy. Memorizing the Quran is heavy, but if you remember Allah and doing that, it will become easy. It will become light. Allah will make it easy. Allah will make it delightful for you. You will leave from that with a light heart and a light soul, not a heavy heart and a heavy soul. So this is the point. وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, and establish the prayer for my remembrance. So if we establish the prayer, but we don't remember Allah, somebody who establishes the prayer, but he remembers the dunya the whole time, then the prayer doesn't get heavy for him. Because the prayer is taking him away from what he's remembering. His whole life is a remembrance of the dunya. So now the prayer is like, it's constrained him from his beloved, from the dunya. But if the beloved is Allah Azza wa Jal, so now he's getting away from the dunya. Ya Bilal, arihna bis salat. Oh Bilal, give us let's take relaxation. Any with the prayer. So this is the case, barakallahu fikum. The key is to remember Allah. Is to remember Allah. Qad ibn al-Jawzi, ومن أجال على خاطره ذكر الجنة التي لا موت فيها ولا مرض ولا نوم ولا غم بل لذاتها متصلة من غير انقطاع وزيادتها على قدر زيادة الجد ها هنا انتهب هذا الزمان فلم ينم إلا ضرورة ولم يغفل عن إمارة لحظة عن إمارة لحظة. Ibn al-Jawzi, he said, rahimahullah, the one whose thoughts revolve around the remembrance of paradise, the remembrance, huh? The remembrance of paradise, where there is no death, nor any sickness, nor sleeping, nor any grief. Rather, its pleasures are continuous and never end, and its increase is according to the increase of effort here in this life. And the good in the hereafter is according to what? Is according to how lazy you are in this life? According to how strong you are in this life, how diligent you are in this life, how well you take advantage of your time in this life will determine the good that you have in the hereafter. In the hereafter. So the person who realizes these affairs and that in the increase in the hereafter, in accordance to the increase of the effort here in this life, he will seize this time. He will seize the time at hand, and he will not sleep except in case of necessity, and he will not be heedless of establishing every moment with benefit. And he establishing every moment in his life with benefit. And whatever he's doing, wherever he may be, he will try to benefit from that. Even in times in his life when his soul cannot bear
to work hard in the affairs of the hereafter anymore. He needs to rest. He needs to relax. He can do that still while benefiting from his time. He can relax and he can kick back and say, Subhanallah, 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 Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah. Like this, or he can, for example, he needs to relax. He needs to get some he needs to do some type of physical exercise that's relaxing for him, like to jog, for example. To go jogging, for example, or to go bike riding, for example, or to go walking on a nature trail, for example, away from the fitna, away from the people, in a place, an environment that is suitable for a believer, that is suitable for a believer, with the intention to let his soul get some rest in order to come back strong again. And this is something good. So even then, he would do that, and he would take headphones and listen to a beneficial lecture, or listen to the Quran, or he'll go there and he would review the Quran himself, or the likes like this, or he'll take his family out there and for a picnic and the likes like this, and then remind, look at the trees, where did the tree come from? Like this, but it's light, it's in the easy manner, it's not hard, it's not heavy, it's not in a class, it's not with a book open, it's not any like this. So even then, whenever he takes a break, he still does it in a good manner. The scholars, they would mention, for example, a person, and they would say the likes of these statements, that one, he's not truly a student of knowledge until he reads, researches, and reviews, and is engaged in knowledge 16 hours a day. Like the statements like this, 16 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day. Like this. This one, he's a true student of knowledge, the one who's all day long. Rather, some of them, they say all day and all night. All day and all night. You will find that if you go into his home, he has a books wide open here. There's no books closed. All of them are open. Like this. And there's people of knowledge, as they mentioned, for example, the student. If you go to a student, if you see a library, that every book is in its proper place, know that he's lazy and that these things are just for looks. They're just for looks. They're just for looks. And likewise, whenever you sleep, he sleeps, he has books by his bed. Books on the floor, books on the bed, books on here, books there. This one is open. This one has a marker in it. This, like this, he's engaged in knowledge, and he can't. Some of the knowledge is different levels. Some of it's more heavy than others. So, for example, if he's tired before he goes to bed, maybe he has beside him the biography of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or some biographies of the Salaf. Here, whenever he cannot read anymore and memorize all this heavy knowledge, now he just read this light knowledge about Ibn Mubarak, for example, rahimahullah, and the events in his life. Or they'll have, for example, a dictionary, Fayruz Abadi, Qamus Muhit, and he just open that. Before going to bed, he'll read through the dictionary like this. And he's reading some beneficial vocabulary, things that are light, things that are easy. It doesn't require for him to comprehend and to think deep and to memorize and like. So all the time he's engaged in knowledge. Sometimes, for example, there are lessons for in a sort of fiqh, for example, or in fiqh issues that can become very difficult. A person has to focus and listen. He can't have no distractions. If there's any distraction, the whole benefit is gone. He didn't understand anything. There's lessons like this. Other lessons that are not like that. They're easy. A person, he could drive down the road and listen and benefit greatly. Any admonishments or sometimes if you learn a particular subject, strong now those topics of that subject, a person, he can be driving, he can be walking around, a woman, she can be doing dishes, she can be cooking, at the same time benefiting from the likes of these lessons. So the lessons are different levels. So whenever a person is busy and preoccupied, they can still take advantage of their time by listening to the likes of these lessons, the likes of these benefits. And then whenever they are freed up, they can save that time for the knowledge that's more difficult or more hard or more heavy and the likes like this. The point is that to always be engaged and something good, every moment, even if a person, he can't seek knowledge, he'll remember Allah, and he will ponder and reflect over the creation. He'll look in his, maybe he's relaxed and he's tired, and he will just look at his child and be like, Subhanallah, that child 10 years ago was not even alive. It's not even alive. You know, the pondering and benefiting from life in a manner that's always going to bring him back to the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He will not be wasting his time lost in heedlessness. And heedlessness. So it's a difference between relaxing, enjoying one's life in the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla as a true believer, and being lost in the worldly life and overcome by the dunya. You understand? Big difference between the two. So a person, he can have fun in this life, he can take things easy from time to time, and still be full of the love of Allah and the remembrance of Allah, and in the gardens of paradise in this life before the hereafter. In this life before the hereafter is by having knowledge, barakallahu fikum. So he mentions, rahimahullah, وَأَمَّا التَّمَنِّي فَمِنْهُ مَمْدُوحٌ وَمِنْهُ مَذْمُومٌ. And as for the hopes, desires, wishes, some of them are praiseworthy and others are blameworthy. أَمَّا الْمَمْدُوحُ فَهُوَ أَنْ يَتَمَنَّ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرِ الْمَنْدُوبِ وَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُهُ وله ثلاثة شروط. So as for the hopes and desires, the wishes, some of them are praiseworthy and others are blameworthy. He's wanting to make some details here. To have tamanni. You want to hope for something, you want to wish for something, you're thinking about something like this. Some aspects of this is blameworthy and other aspects is praiseworthy. You understand? This is what he's saying now. As for the praiseworthy aspect of having wishes and having hopes, having dreams, as for the praiseworthy aspect, it is to hope for the recommended goodness while one is not able to do it. And it has three conditions. And to hope to do any to do some good. For example, maybe he sees brothers who are donating to the masjid, lots of money. They're building a masjid, for example, masjid for Ahlul Sunnah. And he himself doesn't have the money to donate. So he's looking at them, he's wishing that Allahu Akbar, the brothers donating some money left and right. There, oh man, if I had the money like that, I would donate that money too. I would donate more than them if I had the money. So this is he doesn't have the money to do it, but he's thinking, if I had the money to do it, I would do it. You understand? So this is good. This is praiseworthy. This is good. This is praiseworthy. Or somebody, for example, who is busy. He has lots of responsibilities, and then he sees somebody who's not busy, and all he's doing is studying, seeking knowledge, reviewing, and reciting, and learning, and teaching, and the likes like this. And he'll say, "Man, if I had free time like that brother right there, I'd do the same thing. If I was freed up like him, I would go to Medina and just learn and sit with the scholars." But he doesn't have free time, so he can't do it at this moment. You understand? But he's thinking about it, and he would do it, and this is a good hope. So this is something that is good, but this has conditions, he says. الأول العزم على الفعل متى ما قدر عليه. The first one is to have determination to perform it whenever one is able. And in that, he's not going to be lying to himself. Like, man, if I had $1 million, I would give $500,000 to, I would spend in charity the way they are. And then all of a sudden, he gets some money. He don't even give a dollar. He doesn't give a dollar. He becomes tight. So he has to have strong determination. Now, he'll have these hopes, these high and good hopes that he's not able to achieve. But he's telling himself, I would do that if I could. And it has to be real. It has to be a strong determination. Meaning that he found himself in that situation, he would really do it. He would really give charity. He would really leave home and go to Medina and study. Like if he was free, and he would do it. He wouldn't hesitate. If the opportunity arose, he would seize it. He would seize it. And he has this determination, this strong resolve in his heart. The first one, determination to perform it whenever one is able. الثاني كونه في حدود الشرعيات كونه في حدود الشرعيات كتمني بناء مسجد ونحوه. The second one is that is within the limits of the legislation, like building, like hoping to build a masjid and the likes. And he's not having these dreams and hopes of things that are haram or impermissible, or that are not even from the avenues of goodness, rather things that are limited to the legislation and that are from the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. الثالث ألا يكون ديدنا ألا يكون ديدنا الإنسان. The third is that it will not be a person's common practice. The third is that it will not be a person's common practice. And he's not, because remember, this is a disease. It could overcome the heart. So maybe it's permissible, but too much of it could lead a person to the blameworthy aspect, to where he doesn't, and he's just living in khayal. He's living in imagination and dreams. وأما المذموم فقد عبر عنه ابن القيم رحمه الله تعالى في شرح كلام شيخ الإسلام أبي إسماعيل الحراوي عن مفسدات القلب. فقال, as for the blameworthy aspect, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, and the explanation of the statement of Shaykh al-Islam Abu Ismail al-Harawi rahimahullah, referred to it as things that corrupt the heart. And he said, what book is he referring to? Madarij al-Salikin, which is an amazing book that was originally authored by Abu Ismail al-Harawi rahimahullah, and Ibn Qayyim, he explained it and cleaned it up. Refined it, and it's a very beneficial book about traversing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the stages of and the ranks of the worship of the heart. It's all an explanation of Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. An amazing book. In this book, he says, Rahimahullah, al-mufsidu al-thani min mufsidat al-qalbi rukubuhu bahr al-tamanni wa huwa bahrun la sahira lahu wa huwa al-bahru al-ladhi yarkabuhu mafarisu al-alam. كما قيل إذا تمنيت بت الليل مغتبطا إن المنى رأس أموال المفاريسي رأس أموال المفاريسي. The second thing that corrupts from the corruptors of the heart is riding the ocean of false hopes. Listen to the expressions he's using. Riding on the oceans of false hopes. So the false hopes, they're like, it's like an ocean. There's an ocean of false hopes, and they're like giant waves. A person, he'll get riding on the waves of false hopes. Imagine what he's mentioning here. And it is an ocean with no shore. The ocean of false hopes and false whims and desires and these wishes and the likes like this. This is an ocean of wishes and the likes that a person, he could be involved in. The waves can toss him here and there, back and forth, left and right. And he will never reach the end and never come back to land any reality. He says, and it is an ocean with no shore. And it is the ocean that the bankrupt of the world ride upon. Any the bankrupt, the people who are losers, they don't ever reach any of their aims or their goals. They're lost and they're bankrupt with no benefit and no good because they're riding on the ocean of false hopes and amani and wishes that are never accomplished. Just as has been said, if you are wishing, you spend the night delighted. Indeed, the wishes are the head wealth of the bankrupt. And he spends his nighttime wishing and dreaming, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And then tomorrow comes, he does not do anything. So he remains bankrupt with no benefit and no good. And he's living a dream. So he says, Rahimahullah, وَبِضَاعَةُ رِكَابِهِ مَوَاعِيدُ الشَّيْطَانِ وَخَيَلَاتُ الْمُحْتَارُ وَالْبُحْتَانِ الْمُحْتَارُ المحال, there's a ta here, huh? المحال, erase the ta. وَبِضَاعَةُ رُكَابِهِ وَبِضَاعَةُ رُكَابِهِ مَوَاعِدُ الشَّيْطَانِ وَخَيَرَاتِ الْمُحَالِ وَالْبُهْتَانِ فَلَا تَزَالُ أَمْوَاجُ الْأَمَانِيَ الْكَاذِبَةِ وَالْخَيَرَاتُ الْبَاطِلَةِ تَتَلَاعَبُ بِرَاكِبِهِ كَمَا تَتَلَاعَبُ الْكِلَابُ بِالْجِيفَةِ وَهِيَ بِضَاعَةُ كُلِّ نَفْسٍ مَهِينَةٍ خَسِيسَةٍ سُفْلِيَّةٍ وليست لها همة تنال بها الحقائق الخارجية بل اعتاضت عنها بالأماني الدنية قال فيتمثل المتمني صورة مطلوبة في نفسه وقد فاز بوصلها والتذ بالظفر بها فبينما هو على هذه الحال إذا استيقظ فإذا يده الحصير انتهى كلامه رحمه الله. So he says, and the commodity of the caravans, the items of the caravans, are the promise of the devil and the impossible false images. The waves of hope, the waves of false hopes and the false imaginations will continue playing with the rider, the one who's riding on the ocean, huh? It was playing with the rider just as a dog plays with the dead carcass, and he's throwing it left and right. You've seen a dog playing with an animal that he caught before, he'll grab it and throw it here and throw it there and throw it up in the air and throw it left and right, like, and the body is just flopping around like this. He's saying that this is how these waves of false hopes and these dreams, these dreams which are lies in the minds of a person, play with him, tossing him from this one to that one and that one to this one. And this is the merchandise of the ever lowly of every lowly soul that has no ambition by way of the outer realities. Are obtained. Any of this person, he'll never truly implement this and obtain those things. These are only inside of his mind. They're inside of his mind. They never become realities that are tangible. They never become realities that are tangible. So he says, rather they were replaced by the lowly false hopes. He said, the one wishing images to his self, these false hopes, and whenever he attains them and is successful, while in this state, suddenly he wakes up and his hand is empty with his mat. And meaning that this person, this type of person here, who is lost in these false hopes and these imaginations. He's dreaming that he memorized the Quran and that he's reciting and leading the prayer and Tarawih, for example, and he's doing this and he's doing that and all of this good and all of this and this, or he was dreaming that he got a job and he did this and he did that and he reached the status and then all of a sudden he wakes up and he's in his bed. All of a sudden he wakes up and he's in his bed. And meaning it's just dreams, it's nothing real. And he did this, he memorized the Quran, he memorized 40 hadith, he's teaching the Quran, he's a teacher, he has students, so he, like, or whatever, like he's dreaming, and it's high level, he's standing in the night prayer, and then he's making sujood, and then he wakes up, and it's all a dream. Nothing's real. And this is the case of the likes of this person. And he has nothing. He has nothing. It's just a dream. You understand? This is all a threat. Any warning. Do not be like that. He says, وَأَمَّا أَحْسَن وَمَا take off the hamza. وَمَا أَحْسَنَ مَا قَالَ أَبُو تَمَامٍ مَنْ كَانَ مُرْعَى عَزْمِهِ وَهُمُومِهِ رَوْضَ الْأَمَانِ لَمْ يَزَلْ مَهْزُولًا. And how nice is it what Abu Tamam he mentioned. Whoever his pastures of determination and ambitions are the gardens of false hopes, he will always remain defeated. And he will be a loser. He'll be a loser. And he's grazing about in his imagination and in his determination and his ambitions. They're all just false hopes. False hopes. And it's not true ambition and true determination. He does not strive against his soul to implement it. He will always be a failure. And he will always be defeated and overcome by the devil and the forces of the devil. So the author says, وَقَدْ قِيلَ لِبَعْضُ الْحُكَمَةِ مَنْ أَسْوَأَ النَّاسِ حَالٍ قَالَ مَنْ بَعُدَتْ هِمَّتُهُ وَاتَّسَعَتْ أُمْنِيَتُهُ وَقَصُرَتْ آلَتُهُ وَقَلَّتْ مَقْدَرَتُهُ وَقَالَتْ مَقْدَرَتُهُ. And it was mentioned to some of the wise men, who is in the worst condition, and who is in the worst state. He said, the one whose ambition is far off and his hopes are widespread and his means are few and his ability is short-limited. And he himself is not qualified. He doesn't have a lot of good with him, but he has all these false ideas and dreams that are in his mind and they never been executed or actualized. And he's lost in an ocean of false hopes and dreams. He says, قَالَ آخَرْ تَجَنَّبُ الْأَمَانِ فَإِنَّهَا تذهب ببهجة ما خولتهم وتستسخرون بها نعمة الله عليكم. Another, he said, avoid the false hopes because they take away the brilliance of what you have been granted. فإنها تذهب ببهجة ما the has supposed to be deleted, right? Yeah, but I'm saying the ha is not supposed to be there. Khuwiltum. It says there that he erased the ha. Bima bibahja bibah. Fainaha tadhhabu bibahjati ma khuwiltum. Watastasghiruna biha ni'matallahi alaykum. Another, he said, avoid the false hopes because they take away the brilliance of what you have been granted. And you would belittle the blessings of Allah upon you because of them. So the author, he says, فَلْيَجْتَنِبِ الطَّالِبُ هَذَا الْمَرَضُ وَلْيَحْذَرُ تَمَكُونَهُ مِنْهُ فَإِنَّهُ كَالسَّرَطَانٍ فَتَّاكٍ قَلَّ مَنْ يَبْرَأُ مِنْهُ فَكَمْ مِنْ صَرِيعٍ لَا يُفِيقُ مِنْ سُبَاتِهِ وَلَا يَفْتَأِتُ مِنْ قُيُودِهِ أعاذنا الله وإياكم منه وأشغلنا بالعمل الصالح عن الأماني الكاذبة والخيالات الكاسدة وأحلام اليقظة التي تضيع الوقت وتخفف الميزان. The author, he says, rahimahullah, therefore the student must avoid this disease and be cautious that it will take hold of him because it is like a lethal cancer. Rarely is someone cured from it. How many have gone unconscious, not waking from their sleep, and are not free from their restraints? May Allah protect us and you from that, and preoccupy us with righteous actions away from these false hopes, frivolous imaginations, and daydreams that waste time and lighten the scales. Enlighten the scales. And this is very beneficial advice. Therefore, the student must avoid this disease. Of what? Procrastination and false hopes, taswif wa tamanni, and be cautious that it would take hold. And because if a person he entertains these ideas too much, they will take hold and they will overcome him, and he will be in the shackles of the devil now. And they will prohibit him from advancing upon his goodness, and he'll be lost in these desires and these dreams, and he'll be living in this imagination, and he's living literally a lie. Even though sometimes the devil will deceive a person till he believes and he thinks good about himself and the likes like this, but he does not have anything. And he's not doing anything. He's just living in a dream world, moving around, like they say, spinning his wheels. Spinning his wheels. He's not really doing anything in reality. He doesn't really have benefit with him. And he's not benefiting himself and his family. And no one is benefiting from him. So on and so forth. So he says, be cautious that this will take hold because it is like a lethal cancer. Rarely is someone cured from it. How many have gone unconscious, not waking from their sleep, and waking from their restraints? May Allah protect us and you from that. Ameen. And may Allah preoccupy us with righteous deeds. Ameen. Away from these false hopes. Ameen. Frivolous imaginations. Ameen. And daydreams that waste time and lighten the scales. And so it's in the hands of Allah. And the success is to be busy, to be preoccupied from these things. You don't have time to think about daydreams and what you're going to do and what because you're already engaged in actions. Some of the salaf has been mentioned about them, Suwayd ibn Ghafla, rahimahullah, that if it was still, if لو قيل له ملك الموت على الباب ما كان له مزيد من العمل. If it was said to him, the angel of death is knocking at the door right now, he's coming for you, he would not be able to do anything more. He's already at the peak of righteous deeds. He cannot add. He can't start fasting, he's already fasting. He can't stand in the night prayer, he's already in the night prayer. He can't pray, he's already. He can't give charity, he's already giving. There's nothing that he could do more in his life. If they told him right now that the angel of death is coming for you right now, he's not able to do more. That's what it said about him in his biography. He couldn't do more, because he's already engaged in so much, And so this is the example here. Taking advantage of this time. He says, قال الشاعر تمنيت أن تمسي فقيها مناظرا بغير أناء والجنون فنون. The poet, he said, you hope to be a scholar debating without any effort, and madness is various different types. There's another line that comes after this. We read both of them together. You can write it down. تمنيت أن تمسي فقيها مناظرا بغير أناء والجنون فنون وليس اكتساب المال دون مشقة وليس اكتساب المال دون مشقة تلقيتها فالعلم كيف يكون تمنيت أن تمسي فقيها مناظرا. You hope that you're going to become a great scholar, debating and defending the sunnah, بغير عناء والجنون فنون, without any hardship or difficulty. You're going to become a great scholar defending the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, clarifying the truth, advising the people without any hardship or difficulty, without any troubles whatsoever. والجنون فنون. and insanity is many different avenues, many different ways. This is from those ways of insanity. This person is insane. He thinks he's going to become a scholar or a strong student of knowledge. He's going to benefit the Ummah of Muhammad, and he's not going to do anything. He's going to sleep in his bed after Fajr. That's not going to happen, brother. Barakallahu fi. وَلَيْسَ اكْتِسَابُ الْمَالِ دُونَ مَشَقَّةٍ تَلَقَّيْتَهَا فَالْعِلْمُ كَيْفَ يَكُونُ. And it's not possible to obtain money without any hardship that you receive, without receiving any hardship. It's not possible to obtain money without receiving any hardship, right? Can you get money without a hardship? Can you get a new car without going through difficulty? And illegally, lawfully in the deen. Can you have a good portion of this life and wealth and prosperity without going through any hardship or difficulty? فَالْعِلْمُ كَيْفَ يَكُونُ فَالْعِلْمُ كَيْفَ يَكُونُ. The knowledge, how's it going to be? The knowledge of the likewise, be prepared, barakallahu fik, to experience some hardship. But if you remember Allah and you seek His help and you'll be sincere, that hardship will become a delight for you, where there are jannah in your heart as a grace and favor from Allah, because Allah, He is al-ghafoor, al-shakoor, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He will make that effort beneficial for you from His grace and from His mercy. So he says, the poet said, you hope to be a scholar debating without any effort, and madness is various different types. And obtaining money, it will not happen without receiving some hardship. So knowledge, how do you think it will be? How do you think it will be? The author, he closes the issue. He says, وَهَذِهِ أَبْيَاتٌ مِنْ قَصِيدَةٍ لِي فِي هَذَا الْمُضُوعِ. These are some lines of poetry that I have written about this subject. And he says, وَهَنْ لِأَيَامِ الدِّرَاسَةِ إِنَّهَا تَكْسُ الْفُؤَادَ سَعَادَةً وَتَنَفُسُ وَالْمَرْءُ فِي زَمَنِ الصِّبَى مُتَوَثِّبٌ خَيْرًا تُغِيرُ عَلَى الْخَيَالِ وَتُنْهَسُ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَ الْمُدَى وَتَكَشَّفَتْ أَحْلَامُهُ عَنْ سَوْءَةٍ لَا تُحْبَسُ وَجَلَ الْمَعِيشَةَ صَعْبَةً لَا تُقْتَنَى بِالْأُمْنِيَاتِ وَلَا الزَّمَانُ يُؤْنَسُ فاختر لنفسك غير أودية المنى فالعطب في وادي المنى يترأس. And this is the end of the work of the author, rahimahullah ta'ala. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on his Sheikh Abdus Salam ibn Burjis, and to accept from him his efforts, and to make this work and his other efforts from his good deeds and his scale that he will see with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to reward him. Indeed, these readings have been very beneficial for me. I hope they were beneficial for all of you, and that we can be safe from these obstacles and strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our introductory or in our beginning classes, we had taken a narration of Anas. The author, he mentioned the wording of Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhuma, and that was about the one who made his main concern the hereafter. And in contrast, the one who made his main concern the worldly life. So I mentioned that I wanted to discuss this narration. So inshallah, in our class on Sunday night, we'll take this hadith. We'll take this hadith. Alhamdulillah, we finished the book, we finished the seminar, but this narration here is very important. Also, there was an issue that I was going to talk about, and that was, I told you to remind me, Khufay Hunain. But I think right now it's almost time for the students to come. We will save that for later too, inshallah. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.